Today we're going to be talking about divine direction. This will be the first of four parts as we are walking through hearing from the Lord. This morning, though, let me start with a question of this. What does God want me to do? Has anyone ever asked that question? What does God want me to do? Maybe as some of you who are a little more spiritual, maybe your mind's saying, what is God's will for my life? Maybe that's the way you phrase it or so. Greg Rochelle has written a book called Divine Direction. He talks about seven decisions that will change your life that you need to, and there's some of them are really simple. Start. You got to start to make a good decision. I mean, so some of them are very, very simple, but some people don't know where to even start. But a key thought that comes from his book is this. He says, the decisions that we make today determines the stories that we will tell tomorrow. You'll have to go to the other screen. There you go. He'll get it. Let me read that again. The decisions that we make today determines the stories that we tell tomorrow. And church, that is so true. Our decisions today matter to our future. In fact, you are a result of the decisions that you've made in the past. And how many of you have accepted Jesus Christ and you're saved today because you made the greatest decision that you could ever make? When you asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, that decision made a direct impact upon who you are. And God is still working in and through our lives. Amen? God's still working on me. How many remember that little song? It's true. God's still working on us. Now, in reality, believe this or not, most people are not great decision makers. They struggle with making a decision. Let me give you an example. We just traveled down to the funeral for my dad, and we're in the car, and we had to make a decision of where to stop and eat. It became a challenge because of all the multiple people in the car to satisfy them. And it made the decision kind of tough. How many know what I'm talking about? Travel with your family. And somebody just finally has to make the decision, right? Well, I'm glad that that food decision didn't make a really big impact upon my future, but the decision had to be made, right? There's other decisions, and I'm pretty sure like me, maybe some of you, have made decisions that we wish we could go back and say, I wish I could go back and do that over again. Anybody made those kind of decisions? Maybe it was a big purchase of something that you wouldn't do again. Or maybe it was a job change or a career move. Maybe it was a decision back in high school or in college that you regret. You say, I wish I could do that over. Some of you right now might be in decision mode right now. How many are needing to make decisions right now? Anybody? Yeah, you're making decisions. Maybe you're a high school senior. Think about that. Remember that? What do I do next year? Do I go to this college? Do I go to that university? Do I go to work? What do I do? Maybe some of you are in the world of dating, and it's going pretty good, but you've come across a few things in the relationship you're not sure about, so the question comes up, should I stick with this person? Are they going to change? Or should I wait for somebody else to come along? Those are all the decisions. Maybe it's a question about a job or a new car or a new house or a new school. There's so many decisions to make, and I'm all stressed out just thinking about all the decisions we've got to make. Has anybody made a decision where you're going to eat today for lunch? Nope. That means you don't even know what's going to go in your belly. Think about that. You hadn't even made that decision. That's why we all need divine direction in our life. We need that. Today, though, I want to start by laying a foundation upon which we can make decisions upon. And the question to lay the foundation for us is this. What does God care about? Everybody say that. Read that out loud with me. What does God care about? One more time. What does God care about? Now, if I take you back to the first question I asked, which is, what does God want me to do? We could get so concerned about the do and miss what's really most important. And that would be this. God is more concerned about who you are than what you do. When it comes to the will of God, you have to first understand that God cares more about who you are than the things you do in this life. God cares about who more than do. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says this, God's will is for you to be, and everybody say this next word with me, holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, today, as there are many of us that will make decisions day after day, but Lord, we want divine direction. So God, help us to hear your word today and to lay the proper foundation for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now in this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, did it say God's will for you is to be an accountant? God's will for you is to be an architect. God's will for you is to be a nurse. God's will for you is to be a missionary. It didn't say any of those, did it? What did it say? God's will for you is to be, and everybody say it again, holy. Church, God's will for you is to be holy. In fact, the Greek word that's translated here means to be set apart. It means to be different. It means to have a clean heart and a life that is separated from this world. Church, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are not to look like this world. You're not to be driven by the values of this world. What are we to be? You are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. God does that through the work of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And that work is an ongoing work. In fact, it will never fully arrive. But we are moving in a direction toward Jesus to become more like Him. And when you look at what Jesus taught and what He said, He was more interested in who He wants you to be than what He wants you to do. In fact, Jesus wasn't concerned with the careers of those He chose to follow Him. Think about it. He chose fishermen, tax collector, a zealot. He wasn't concerned with what they did. He was concerned about who these men would become. In Jesus' teaching, and you walk through it, He talks about character. He talks about this calling to the character of being like Him. And so a better question for us today would be this. Who does God want me to become? Everybody say that. Who does God want me to become? That's where we need to start before we make divine decisions that will change the direction of your life. If you start with the truth of who you are becoming, then that can eventually lead you to do the right thing because you're who God wants you to be. Let me ask this question. Is it God's will that I'm a pastor? Some of you are like, yeah, and others are contemplating that thought. But I want you to know my call as a pastor is secondary to who Christ wants me to be. God first wants me to be holy. His primary will is more about my character than my call. A pastor is what I do, but it's not who I am. I could be a pastor, and I could be out of God's will if my heart is not right with Him and my character is flawed. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm struggling today with our churches who are claiming to have pastors and leaders who are preaching God's word, and they do not adhere to God's word. You tell me where. When we walk about this and talk about this, what does God want of my life? And it's all because who I am matters more to God than what I do. Who I am matters more to God than what I do. God would rather me do anything with a pure heart before Him than to do something that appears spiritual and live with unconfessed sin in my life. Is that what you want? Is this just a game we're playing? Or am I really wanting to be like God? God says, I want you to be holy. God is concerned with who I am before what I do. Well, how does this apply to you? Well, let me ask a couple of questions. So people say, well, should I date that person or not? It does not matter who you date. Just date a person with integrity who is serving Jesus. And then be a person of integrity and holy with whoever you date. Amen? We get lost in the other part instead of being who we're supposed to be. Someone, well, should I move or should I stay here? It doesn't matter where you are. You are to be a faithful follower of Jesus wherever you are. And listen, if a person or a place pulls you away from God, then that is not God's will for your life. Church, if you're going to be concerned about anything, be concerned about this. Be concerned about who you are before God. Who you are before God. And before you make a decision about the future, think about who you are in the present. Am I being who I'm supposed to be? And instead of asking God, what do you want me to do? Ask Him, who do you want me to become? For divine direction, we have to start with conforming to the image of the Son of God. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. 1 John 2:6 says this. Those who say they live in God. Is there anybody that said you live in God here today? Just a few of you. Lord help the rest of you. That's why you're in church. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. How about that for direction? Galatians 2:20, Paul declares, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, Paul is saying, this spirit change within me that's in this temple, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul is saying, I am not who I used to be. I'm different. I'm trying to follow Christ. Romans 12:1-2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many want the perfect, pleasing, good will of God? It starts by saying, God, make me who I need to become. The first divine direction of our life is we are being conformed into the image of Christ. Clearly, it has to be God's will is who before the do. It's who we are before what we do. A second statement I want to look at this morning is this. God's will is why before the what. Church, you have to recognize that motives matter to the heart of God. Scripture tells us this in Proverbs 16:2. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines the motives. In other words, believe this or not, we have the unbelievable ability to deceive ourselves. We do. How many have ever deceived yourself? That would be everybody in this room. Because you've looked in the mirror at some point and said, I'm a rock star. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us this. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? You may think everything you're doing is right, but the Lord is the only one who can really judge our motives. Why? Because motives matter to God. I've got a scripture for you. I think we need to learn to pray more often. So if you're taking notes, definitely write this one down. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. In fact, if I could encourage you all week in your prayer life, add this to your prayer life this week. It says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Verse 24, "Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." I want us just to take a moment right now before I go any further. Just pray that. So God, search me. Lord, search my motives. Search my thoughts. Know my heart, Lord. And Lord, test me. And know my anxious thoughts. And God, would you point out anything in me that offends you? Help me see it. And then, Lord, lead me along the path of everlasting life, Lord. Amen. Church, we need to pray that. A concern of mine is this, just how often are our motives not where God wants them to be? I remember a time when God helped me see my real motives. I do like helping people. But one particular time, I remember somebody dropped something and I reached down to help them pick it up. But right then and there, the Lord checked my motives. You see, my motive was to get their praise and their thanks and get a pat on the back. Thank you for helping me. It wasn't as pure as God wanted it to be. It should have been a lot more genuine than what I was going to get out of it. It's what they were going to get out of it. And you can think how quickly our motives can be so wrong even in doing something that looks right. That's why we need to be open to God. God, check the motive of my heart. Check it in everything I do. And that's why we need to ask God to help us. Why am I doing the things I do? Why am I buying a car? Why am I changing jobs? Why do I watch the stuff I watch? Why am I posting stuff on Facebook? Amen. Why? What's your motive? And ask, Lord, help me see the motive of my heart. Church, do you really think you know the motive of your heart? Listen to what Paul teaches the church at Colossae. In Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do or say," everybody read that first part with me again. "And whatever you do or say," one more time, "and whatever you do," what is whatever? Pretty much covers whatever. "You do" would refer to what? Actions that we're doing or things that come from your vocal cords, which, by the way, come out of the abundance of your heart. See? So whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do or say, that pretty much covers everything. If you're a stock boy working in the store, or you're the company owner, or if you're the student in the classroom or the teacher in the classroom, Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, representing Jesus, not yourself. It's not your own motive anymore. It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Wherever you are, we serve Christ there. Wherever we live, we serve Jesus there. Listen, we just need to be faithful in the small things that we're doing. Someone might say, well, one day I'm going to be a missionary overseas. Well, start by being a missionary where you are. We have these grand dreams, and why don't you just be who you are and do the why you've been made? There's hundreds of decisions that we're going to make each and every day. It starts with us getting out of bed. How many made a decision to get out of bed today? There's some others with the ice that decided not to make that decision today or to make it too late. There's decisions you're going to make about lunch. There's decisions of what you're going to do this evening. There are all kinds of decisions you're going to make all day long. I just wonder, what is the foundation of those decisions? If you happen to see somebody who's faithfully serving the Lord and making a difference for God, can I remind you that person, it started with countless decisions of denying self and dying to self day after day. Why? Because it was the who before do and the why before what. Church, we got to get our priorities right before God. And then He'll help us step by step to make the right decisions. God is calling us. And His will for you starts with who you are and why you do what you do. Think about Jesus for a moment. Think about what He endured. The people that He came to love, many of them ended up hating Him and killing Him. How do you think He endured that? Why didn't He just call for the angels of heaven to come and rescue Him? Why? Because He knew who He was and He knew why He came. Who was He? He was the Son of God. Why did He come? Not to be served, but to serve. Let's read it, Mark 10:45. Everybody read it with me. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He knew who He was and He knew why He came. Pastor James, would you come? God's will for you is more of a someone than a something. He's more concerned about you than the do. People say, well, I want a calling. Well, let me give you a couple this morning. Did you know love is your calling? Got to start there. The Bible says love one another. How about this one? Serve is your calling. Are we not called to serve? Serve Him? Serve others? When you look at the teachings of Jesus, it was never about a career. It was about people. He said, love God, love others. Jesus summed up the whole law in that simple phrase, love God, love others. You don't have to get so worried about the future, because Jesus will take us step by step in the divine direction we need to go to find God's destination He has for you. Don't get discouraged or frustrated about what will happen in the future. Begin by being faithful where you are and follow God's word. Why? So you can be who God wants you to be. Did you know God's word has a lot of direction for us just to be who? One of the who's I pick on it quite often because it really is a problem. He says, do not gossip. I mean, church. I mean, it's, you know, I can pick on the do not lie. there's so many things that our character that he wants to work on so we could be the who. And if we begin to be the who, we'll understand the why, okay? And then next week, I'm going to talk to you about wisdom. But church, if you don't know who wisdom comes from, and you don't know why he gives wisdom, it won't matter. Because he's talking about you and your character and your life because of your impact. Why? Because you're a representative. That's who you are. But it all begins by letting Jesus be Lord of your life. That's where it starts. I don't know where all of you are today in the balcony or main floor, but you have to start with letting Jesus master your life. You say, well, he's going to control me? Yeah, his word. Why? Because you're being changed. Your thinking is going to be changed. As I keep getting older and more in love with God, I realize how little I loved him back here. I thought I was really in love with God. But as I've watched his faithfulness, I just love him more and more. And that doesn't mean it didn't have humps and bumps in it. Because that's the way life runs. And it's through the valleys and the mountaintops. But he says, hey, I am with you in the valley. Don't fear it. I'm there, my rod and my staff. They'll comfort you when you hit those moments. And church, starting with saying, I want to be who God wants me to be, lays the foundation for the direction of your life. Would you bow your heads? In this room, right now, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you could do that right now and surrender your life to the direction of the Lord. In the balcony, main floor, if that's you this morning, say, I want to invite Jesus to be master of my life. You've never done that, or maybe you've fallen away and you're like, I need to come back. He is saying, I'm here, just like the song this morning. He says, come home, come home. He's welcoming you home. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and you can put it right back down. I'm just glancing across to see if there's anyone this morning. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We start right there. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to be done. One, two, I'm just looking around one more time. Three. Okay. For these who raise their hand, would you just pray with me? I want to pray something so simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And I ask you to forgive me of all my mistakes. Move into my life. Master my heart. Master my thoughts. Master my life. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just about to close and you got a mic. Good for you. Because you don't want to hear me sing this morning. I want to just say, I love you, Lord. And then I have a prayer I want to pray over you before I release you today. But would you just tell the Lord how much you love him? Say, I love
you, Lord.
And I lift my voice.
And I lift my voice.
Come on, give up your worship today.
To worship you, oh my soul.
Let your soul rejoice. God, your Savior.
Take joy,
my Lord. Dance with joy over our lives.
In what you hear, let it be.
Come on.
Oh, let it be. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet. One more time. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears.
I exalt thee. Would you just lift that, say?
And I exalt thee.
Give him your glory. Give him his glory.
I exalt thee.
Lord, we give our lives to live for you.
I exalt thee.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Master.
Oh,
Father, today we ask that you would conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus. Lord, that we would become people that you want us to be, the who. Lord, do a miracle in our lives and make us who you want us to be. Lord, for those in this place that maybe have great decisions in their lives, I pray that, Lord, first that they would focus on character. And Lord, if there be any sin in our lives, Lord, would you forgive us and restore us today? And Lord, if there be anything lacking in the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, Lord, would you help us to be people who live with the fruit of the Spirit? Lord, people who live with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Lord, help us to keep our focus on who we are before you. And Lord, help us to keep our motives pure before you, to remember the why we worship you. In the powerful name of Jesus, would you continue to transform our lives day by day for your glory? Again, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. How many want to be changed? I want to be changed. I'm God still working on the who in me, but he can do it in all of us as we edify and we build one another up and we spur each other on to love and good deeds. That's the church. That was just why we have members, but it's more than that. Just all of you who are part of the family of God, you're part of the church. So church, let's get divine direction in our life and lay the foundation of who we're supposed to be and why we live for him. Amen. Lord, be with us. Bless your church, I pray. Lord, give us that Jesus-filled life, that we have Jesus-filled moments and days and weeks that bring you glory. To you be the honor and the praise and the glory forever. Amen.